Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what an interesting Monday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, Joy Taylor is joining me, the Pittsburgh girl. If you're a Steeler fan in America, this is a crushing blow. Big Ben is out for the season.
Well, it wasn't looking too great. It wasn't trending well for the Steelers to begin with, but this pretty much closes the chapter on this season.
Yeah, we start there. Big Ben is out for the season. So I didn't know this until about 2 minutes ago, and I had noticed over the last 2 weeks. Now, the Steelers were leading at home against Seattle when Big Ben got hurt, and they ended up losing. Judge somebody's value on what happens to the company or the relationship when they leave. Good luck, Pittsburgh, without Big Ben. Listen, they were still very exciting last year without Le'Veon Bell. But you watch them against New England and you watch them against Seattle, and something was wrong with Big Ben. His accuracy last year was amazing. He completed 67% of his throws last year. But in the last 2 weeks, something was wrong with Big Ben, and something yesterday against Seattle popped. Doesn't help he was facing Belichick and Pete Carroll, great defensive coaches. But you can judge somebody. The AFC is done this morning. New England, Kansas City, it's done. The question now, do they play at Arrowhead in January or do they play in Foxborough? I mean, I thought that this morning before this, now it's over. I mean, spare me on Cleveland. Tennessee lost at home to Indianapolis's backup. Baltimore, they're fun. Lamar Jackson, but they struggled at home with Arizona. Rookie quarterback, second game. Rookie head coach, second game. Chargers lost to Detroit. What the hell was that? Look around. I mean, Houston struggled with Gardner Minshew. They came within a second of losing. You start looking around the AFC this morning, there's some fun stories. Cleveland tonight could be fun. Baltimore's really fun. But, I mean, Tennessee, you can't trust Tennessee. You can't trust Houston. You're crossing your fingers watching Deshaun Watson duck to get out of the way of sacks. It's over. The AFC is over because Pittsburgh was formidable. The owner, the GM, the coach, the quarterback, the offensive line, they beat New England last year. It's a formidable organization. It's over. And I know, listen, Big Ben may wear some of you out. I get it. But whereas everybody loves Cam and he's never had back-to-back winning seasons, Big Ben threw for, you know, how many yards did he throw for last year? He like 67% completion percentage. But you watched him in these first two games against New England and Seattle, and something was off. His accuracy was below average. He's completing like 57% of his throws. Now the injury, boom, season over for Pittsburgh. And I didn't feel that way as long as Big Ben would return. They were leading Seattle. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. This is a great organization. Best offensive line arguably in the AFC. I don't trust anybody in their division. I was not going to bail on Pittsburgh this morning. It was one of my rants. I'm like, yeah, it'd be close. You know, just because you lose to a Hall of Fame coach and quarterback yesterday and a Hall of Fame coach and quarterback in the opener, New England's pretty good. So is Seattle. Seattle's won 8 of 9. I wasn't going to bail on the Steelers. But now Big Ben's out, season over. And again, I've been a critic at times of Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers. You notice what Green Bay looks like without Aaron? You figure out pretty quick he's the team. This Steeler defense is now struggling. What's Pittsburgh without Big Ben? I don't know. I haven't seen much of it. You're going to find out. They're going to be Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. So I don't have to love everything a quarterback does, and Rodgers and Big Ben certainly qualify as that. But the season's over. You can't trust anybody in the AFC except New England and Kansas City. So Andy Reid, Belichick, mark it down. We just got to figure out, are they playing in snow in Foxborough or rain and hail in Kansas City? But that's what it feels like this morning. Now I'm going to move over to the NFC and the Saints. Now, Drew Brees this morning is out for 6 weeks. I do not think their season is over. But this is what's interesting. My strongest play yesterday, my strongest bet was Rams over the Saints. That's with Drew Brees. Because sometimes a brand is so strong, and if it lasts long enough, it's hard to unwrap that. Like, you know, the restaurant you go to for 20 years and the food's great, somebody retires, they change chefs, and you still go to it, and you just don't want to believe the food's not as good. For the last 15 years in this league, there have been three consistent things. New England wins, Cleveland's dysfunctional, and the Saints' offense is dynamic. It hasn't been dynamic since post-Thanksgiving last year, and we just can't wrap our brains around it. Yesterday, Drew Brees, two possessions, interception, three and out. Do you know since last year, week 13, we can't wrap our brains around this. The Saints' offense isn't even average. It's bad. It's 22nd in points, 19th in yards, 19th in passing, 20th in yards per play. And a lot of those games were at home. This is an eroding brand. Drew Brees does not throw the ball down the field. Teddy Bridgewater, his backup, does not. And with the Saints, there's so much sympathy for that bad call. And yesterday there was a bad call. And oh my God, the refs are out. This is not a ref issue. That game in New Orleans against the Rams went to overtime. They couldn't move the ball. That game yesterday, Brees couldn't move it when he was in. Teddy couldn't move it when he was in. This is an offense that is not very dynamic. Only one other team in the NFL throws the ball down the field less than New Orleans. That's their reality. They're 0-7 against the spread in their last seven games. What does that tell you? The brand, the fans are betting on something, and that's not the reality. So, and this is nothing against Drew Brees, but this was why this was my strongest play yesterday. I think we are so caught up in their brand, which has been so strong and so dynamic for years, that we just can't admit what we're watching now is a pop gun offense. Dak throws the ball down the field way better. And if you notice this in the NFL, with all the spacing in the NFL, you got to have a deep threat. That's why Belichick went and got AB, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. That's why Philadelphia, one of the best GMs in the league, went out and got Deshaun Jackson. What you're seeing in the NFL now, the Rams throw the ball. That's why they paid Brandon Cook so much money. Look at the top teams in the NFL. Like, as the game is changing, quarterbacks now, mobile quarterbacks. That's a trend. Here's the other trend. You got to be able to beat people over the top. And all the teams I like in this league can do it. Green Bay does it. AB to New England does it. Seattle does it. Houston does it. Philadelphia does it. The Rams do it. The Chargers can do it. I think what you're seeing with New Orleans, everybody's going to blame the refs. Again, yesterday, everybody's going to blame the refs. But this football team in New Orleans, with or without Drew Brees, is not the same. It is just a... That's with Alvin Kamara. That's with Sean Payton. It's just a dink, 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 dink. And you can't. Why did the Rams win yesterday? Wasn't the officials. They made two huge over-the-top plays. One in the first quarter, one in the fourth. Big plays down the field. Saints no longer do it. So Big Ben is out. I think it ends the Steelers season because you'll notice what happens when somebody really gifted leaves the company or leaves the room changes, the temperature changes. I do not think the Saints season is over, but I think it was incredibly limited. That's why I did not have them in the herd hierarchy last week, and I got a lot of heat. I'm like, watch the games. Watch the games. The Saints don't scare anybody offensively. They don't throw the ball over the top. All right, so I got a lot of things to address here. Obviously, these stories are massive. And for the record, I want to throw out a theory. Maybe it doesn't matter with quarterbacks. Maybe it does. The trend in the NFL is starters don't play in the preseason. The downside to that is games one and two, you're going from 0 to 60. A lot of players hurt. And the preseason was not just about getting better at execution. The NFL preseason, I was told this years ago by Bill Polian, you got to get hit for 3 weeks. You got to get those calluses. You got to get ready to get hit. Now starters don't play in the preseason. They just don't play. The Rams started it last year. They don't play. Did you notice how tired teams looked in week one? Tired athletes get hurt. And you're seeing it all over the NFL. There's just a lot of injuries. And it's a trend. And this is one of these things. The NFL, you're going to see probably next year a few more starters play a few more snaps in the preseason. This is a very cyclical league, right? Like, things change constantly in the NFL. The big trend now, don't play preseason. It feels like to me in the first couple of weeks we're having a lot of injuries because you're asking athletes to go from 0 to 60 and stuff's snapping, stuff's getting hurt, players aren't used to getting hit. You're seeing it all. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, a great running back, didn't even have that many carries, MRI first weekend. Felt like in Pittsburgh he carried the ball 350 times a year, never got hurt. He goes to the Jets, first game he's hurt. Why? He didn't take a hit for two years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I'm watching Dak Prescott, who is good and getting better. I said this before the season started. Last year in his last 8 games, he went 7-1. More attempts, more yards, more accuracy. I think Dak's like a lot of us in life. I mean, a lot of us are slow starters. You know, I've said this often on this show. What was your parental situation like? What was your schooling situation like? Some kids don't get a fair shake. I mean, if you'd have given Dak Prescott in college Nick Saban as a coach and not Mississippi State's talent, maybe he'd be a lot better. Tim Tebow had Florida's talent. Dak Prescott had Mississippi State's talent. There's a big gap there. So Dak's very good. And I was watching Dak yesterday, and Dak's problem is, and I don't think it's a problem, but it's a reality with fans, why so many fans struggle with him. He doesn't have a defining trait. Arm, eh. Athlete, meh. Size, eh. Accuracy, hit and miss. His greatest quality is leadership. And what is leadership? I asked Jimmy Johnson that once. What's leadership? He goes, I don't know. Troy Aikman was a great leader. I can't define it. It's almost like every car commercial you watch. Have you watch car commercials from this point forward? They're always trying to sell you a defining trait. Luxury, speed, power and torque, towing capacity, and they keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. They're selling you a defining trait. Dak doesn't have one. If Dak was an automobile, he'd get a really high rating from J.D. Power and Associates. And does anybody know what that is? He'd get a 5-star safety rating. Nobody wants to buy a car on safety ratings. That's Dak's problem. You know, luxury, speed, power, torque, towing capacity. What's his defining trait? What's reliability? What is leadership? But I'll say this again. Look around the league this morning. Big Ben out for the year. Drew Brees out until around Thanksgiving. Andrew Luck retired. Nick Foles out. Sam Darnold mono. Some of the young quarterbacks. I mean, we love Lamar Jackson, but they've beaten Miami, the worst team in the league, and Arizona, maybe the second worst team in the league. Do we really know? You start looking around this league. Carson Wentz is in the tent so much, I think he's on a camping trip. Deshaun Watson, I'm crossing my fingers he doesn't get, you know, something broken. You start comparing Dak, and the numbers don't lie. In his last 10 games, okay, winning matters. He's won 9 of 10. But there are some numbers behind this that you cannot deny. In his last 10 games, he's number 1 in the league in completion percentage. He's number 2 in passing yards. He's number 3 in passer ratings. For years and years, we did this with Russell Wilson. There were all these critics with Russell Wilson. And I kept saying, A, he wins, and he's got the second best passer rating to Aaron Rodgers in league history. It goes Aaron, Russell, and Tom Brady. You can't play for 5 years, have that, and not be good. Dak's good, but he doesn't have a defining trait. And so it's hard for us. What exactly is he's good? Look around the league this morning. Look around the league this morning. We're a couple of bad breaks from not having Wentz and Deshaun Watson. Big Ben's already out. By the way, Cam is now reeling. Joe Flacco, give me a break. Trubisky's limited. So's Jameis Winston. So's Marcus Mariota. You trust Phillip Rivers in a big spot? I got to tell you something. You look around this league. We're going into week 3. Dak's playing Miami. You know the safest thing on the board next week? New England's going to win, and Dak's going to win. And guess who the second winningest quarterback is in the NFL in the last 3 years? Brady's 1 and Dak's 2. We're going into week 3. The two guarantees are New England's going to win and Dak's going to win. I'm sorry, folks. It's hard. What do you grab with Dak? Leadership. what is leadership? Jimmy Johnson's one of the best coaches of my life. He can't define it. Jimmy's like, I don't know, I can't really, it's fuzzy. But Troy was a leader. Well, what was it? I'm not sure. He just was a leader. So when that's your thing, that's your go-to, like Dan Marino, we had the arm and the release. You know, with Brady, we know so much about his, you know, accuracy and his precision. But it's hard with Dak. What do we, luxury, speed, torque, power? Nah. Five-star safety rating. J.D. Power and Associates. I'm watching him yesterday, folks, and I'm looking at the numbers. 26 of 30, 7 yards. They got him weapons, more attempts every year. You can't deny it anymore. You just can't deny it anymore. The guy's good. How about that stiff arm down the field on Josh Norman? Classic Dak Prescott. Josh Norman bad-mouthed him before the game. Dak didn't say a thing before the game or after it. But during the game, he had a little scramble, and he found him, and he stiff-armed him, and that's what Dak does. Didn't pop off before the game. Just in the game, a little subtle reminder, Josh, I'm pretty good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
10 NFL seasons, Super Bowl, multiple-time Pro Bowler, Greg Jennings, Fox Sports analyst. I thought of you. Yes, I was watching Chris Carter doing some in-game analyst work, and I thought of you because you've done that. It's so much fun. We love having you in the studio. So let's start with this. I've been very critical. In fact, I've said Big Ben reminds me of Aaron Rodgers, can be passive-aggressive, says stuff on radio he won't say to your face. I think part of being a great quarterback is leadership. Aaron and Big Ben are first-ballot Hall of Famers. But I will say this about Big Ben. They were leading when he got hurt yesterday. There's a lot of things I still love about Pittsburgh. Hall of Fame coach, great O-line, tremendous ownership front office. They've got talent everywhere. I feel like Pittsburgh season's over. I feel like it's done. Do you?
Yeah, I do too. It's just hard for a guy like Mason Rudolph, although he played well.
Yeah, he was okay.
He played well yesterday, showed some signs of life, if you will, but it's just so hard in this league, and specifically that division. When you have Baltimore, the defenses that you're going to face.
The weather late.
Yeah, it's a lot more that's going to have to transpire for them to win. And it's going to be on the shoulders of a young second year who's really playing as a rookie, basically, because it's his first time playing.
You know this. The Northern divisions in the NFL, it's not a coincidence. Jay Cutler, big arm. Aaron Rodgers, big arm. For years, Flacco, big arm. Big Ben, big arm. It's like not a coincidence. You're playing outdoors in lousy weather. Andy Dalton doesn't have a big arm. He struggles post-Thanksgiving. It's not just that Big Ben's better than Mason Rudolph. Ben, that ball cuts through
Absolutely. Wind
and cold. And now you're talking about a smaller quarterback. You know, I just think to me it feels like you're going to see the value of Ben.
Yeah, and weather plays a role, the inclement weather, but even the turf gets a lot more challenging because as a quarterback, you're looking at Big Ben, a much more girthier quarterback, hits the ground, can still get back up, can take those brunts, not only from the hits, but the contact to the ground, because now you're playing on Heinz Field. That's natural grass. The ground gets hard in those later months.
So is Lambeau.
Yeah.
You know, so
like
it's,
man, it changes the game. But I just don't see Pittsburgh doing what the potential that was there in front of them with Ben Roethlisberger at the helm.
Okay, now Drew Brees is out. Now, my takeaway has been on New Orleans, and I said this last year after the Cowboy game. Their brand is so dynamic. It's hard for us to unravel that when their offense becomes a pop gum. Since week 13 last year, they're not even average. They're bottom third in the NFL in points, yards, passing per play. Drew does not throw deep. So I actually think Bridgewater, who doesn't throw deep well, is actually the perfect six-week backup for Drew. I think they'll actually win some games. I don't think, because whereas Big Ben is this towering guy to Mason Rudolph, Bridgewater is a lesser version of Drew Brees. The knock on him is he doesn't throw the ball down the field. Well, in the last year, Drew doesn't throw the ball down the field, which hurts their offense. I don't feel like the Saints' season is over. I just thought it was limited coming in. Your thoughts on the Brees?
Yeah, I don't think that the Saints' season is over, but I do believe that their defense has to get back to playing the way they once were playing a year to 2 years ago, where they were stopping everyone. They were doing the things that was necessary for them to win ball games because of what you're alluding to. Drew Brees was taking the approach of, I'm not going to make mistakes. we just need you guys to not allow other opponents to get in the end zone. We'll still score. It's going to be a little different. We're going to hang our hat on the running game, Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, make sure Michael Thomas gets his touches. It's going to look different offensively.
Not as dynamic.
We're not putting up 35, 40 points a game. No. That's not who we are. But we will score points. We just need the defense to step up and do their part. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, watching him yesterday, the one thing that I was a little disappointed with was his inability to feel it and throw it. It was almost like he was still in that immature stage of, I still want to see it develop and then throw the ball.
Can I defend him, though? He wasn't going to start this game. It's hard to be thrown in front of Aaron Donald on the road when you didn't do the prep work with the ones.
I understand that. I totally understand that. But when I look across the National Football League and I look at backup situation, they being the New Orleans Saints, one of the better backup situations. Then you look at the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Carson Wentz goes out. McCown comes in, and he's just starting – their offense started moving. He's just dinking and dunking. It's not a matter of – can you still perform at the level as your number one? Is can you progressively move our offense? Can we still do what we want to do? Is the playbook still open? And the playbook is still open to New Orleans Saints with Teddy Bridgewater. But to your point, because they weren't anticipating that, they do things differently. And I think that's why the New Orleans Saints will still be okay, because yeah. Sean Payton, he's such a offensive genius when it comes to making sure he puts not only his quarterback but his team in the best situations. He understands what Teddy Bridgewater does well and how he can thrive, and that's what they're going to roll with.
Yeah, I guess my takeaway is I haven't bought the Saints for about 8 to 10 weeks, and I don't think the gap between what Breeze can do and what Bridgewater can do is that wide anymore. And I love Drew. But at the end of last year, New Orleans offense has no ability to go over the top. Houston does. AB to New England. Big Ben to AB did. Kansas City does. There's a lot of it. I think New Orleans, and this goes opposite to brand, is a very limited downfield offense. For years and years, I've said about Aaron Rodgers, love his talent, but he's too passive-aggressive. The Kobe Bryants are just aggressive. Michael Jordan punched teammates. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman call out teammates, yell. I am totally okay with that, because I do believe in life you can often say, here's a real tactic. Listen, let's just sleep on it. And that's a real thing. In sports, you have the clock and you have downs. So when fit hits the shan and you've got a minute 20 to figure it out, you have to confront. You and I have to argue. Let's get this right. We got a minute 20 left. Sports on the sidelines because of a clock. Outside of baseball, all sports have a clock. And football's got downs. So when problems happen, we have to be confrontational with this. You and I have to figure it out. We can't sleep on it like life. Let's sleep on it, wake up in the morning, reset ourselves, honey. We'll be in a better mood. So yesterday, Aaron and Matt start barking, and I'm like, I love it. This is exactly what he wouldn't do with Mike McCarthy. It was eye rolling, throw the ball out of bounds. What did you make of the confrontation?
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's a matter of understanding what we are trying to get done. We're trying to win. They came out blazing yesterday, and the offense looked great. The passing game, they had an established running game. They were rolling. And this is when you get to the point of the game and things aren't going right, you start to get frustrated. It has nothing to do with him trying to show up Matt LaFleur or Matt LaFleur trying to do it his way. It's like, look, let's get back to whatever we were doing. Let's get back to that. What are we doing? Let's go. Our defense is special. They're doing things that we haven't seen them do in the last few years. Like, we can't be the reason why we let this team get back in the game.
By the way, Green Bay's offense is going to start to hum, folks. They've played the Bears and the Vikings. These are top five defenses.
They are.
And they're winning. And they're 2-0. And they've got a rookie head coach. The only thing I didn't like about this with Aaron, he kept walking. Stop. It was aggressive, but a little passive aggressive.
No, I don't mind him walking, because if he stops and he makes it into this big ordeal, then what we do as the media, now we're like, oh, there it is right there. But what he's showing is like, yeah, I'm frustrated, but I'm not going to harp on it. Let's get to the sideline. We're going to get over to the bench. We'll talk about it. You'll get my real sentiments over there, and let's move on. It's not a big deal to it's not big enough deal to sit there on the sideline while the cameras are all there and just bark back and forth. That's not going to do anything.
But I did think this was a moment where I never saw this with McCarthy. It was eye rolling. It was kind of, he led the NFL last year in throwaways, meaning basically he bailed on the play before the ball was snapped, threw it away. That's passive aggressive. This is, I hope this young coach gets into Aaron. Aaron gets into him, because in sports, you got a clock. You got to solve stuff. You can't sleep on it. You got to confront it. I read a saying this weekend. Great democracies have to have uncomfortable discussions. Great quarterbacks and head coach relationships have to have similarly uncomfortable discussions. They had one. It worked. All right, let's go to Dak. I'm watching him. I'm watching him. Do you know, number one in completion, number two in passing yards in the last 10 games. Okay, like, by the way, Tebow won games. I never bought it. Flacco won an MVP in a Super Bowl. I never really bought it. Andy Dalton won games. I didn't buy it. It's not just the winning here, because I've seen guys win. Trubisky last year, 11-3 as a starter. I didn't buy that. I'm watching this and I'm thinking, that's a quarterback. That's a real quarterback. Big, leading. I don't know. I you can't, at this point, if you're doubting him, you're just anti-Cowboy, right?
Yeah. I like everything that I'm seeing out of Dak Prescott. Like, I'm just going to flat out say it. He is on fire right now. You can say what you want. He played the Giants defense. He played the Redskins. Look, he's getting it done. 82% completion percentage. You don't do that. I don't care who you're playing. You don't do that. you don't do that. And I mean, 60%+ on third downs in two games, that is getting it done. That is stepping into the huddle with a play that you have a conviction about, but you also have a swag
Watch
about
this.
Yourself.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to make it work. Period. That's what we're seeing out of Dak Prescott this season. And that's honestly what I thought we would see. Like, we get it. Ezekiel Elliott is what the Cowboys want to hang their hat on as far as running the football, punching you in the mouth, and you knowing it. But what Dak Prescott is presenting is that mindset of, look, this is my team. And yes, did we acquire personnel that made me better? Yes, but now it's my turn to make them better and make us better as a team. That's what we're seeing with Dak Prescott. I love every bit of it.
Here's what fans do that drives me nuts. So let Dak Prescott wins. Well, I mean, it's just the Redskins. It doesn't matter. Let me ask you. Outside of New England and Kansas City, if you don't think they're the two best teams in the league, then your television's not working. Take them out. Who's good? I mean, I'm sorry. Philadelphia's loaded. They lost. You can't keep telling me. I mean, I watched the Rams. They're 2-0. The first half of both their games were, to be kind, ugly. Like, who's good in the league outside of New England, Kansas City? I watch Dallas, and you know what I say? Dallas's offense.
Yeah, Dallas's offense. And I think when you talk about who's good, the Green Bay Packers.
They're pretty good.
The Green Bay Packers, because you kind of know their offense is going to, at some point, start to really click. Then now they look good coming out of the gates yesterday, and then but their defense is for real. That I just didn't know that their defense was going to look like this this week and
this soon,
being so young and not having played the games together. They look great. I think the Rams, because of their experience together now, they're going to be good. When you start to get to teams in the NFC South, Atlanta Falcons, they have the potential to be special.
The whole darn league does.
But you just don't know from week to week because they're inconsistent.
This feels like, I mean, honestly, folks, this feels like Alabama-Clemson in college football. New England-Kansas City feels like, with Big Ben injury. I mean, listen, I like what Baltimore's doing. Let's talk about Baltimore. But I think we have to let's take a step back. They've faced Miami, the worst team in the league, and Arizona could be second worst. I think it's working. My eyes are telling me it's working. But Baltimore's schedule now, I think next week they play somebody tough. They play
Kansas City.
So it's going to have to be a shootout. You're going to have to drop the... So I think Baltimore's working, but that game yesterday at home with Arizona was real tight late. When you're watching Baltimore, I know they've done a great job to two receivers, two backs, new coordinator. I mean, Baltimore's really done a nice job. Are we sure it's working?
It's worked. That's all I care about. And it goes back to what we were just saying about Dak Prescott and Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, they played the Giants and the Redskins. Yes, Baltimore has played the Dolphins and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But the big question, and for me, I wasn't out on Lamar Jackson, but I needed to see this.
Okay.
I needed to see him make the throws when the throws were needed, when the team needed him to step up. He's done it against teams that he should have done it against, so I'm not going to take credit away from him because he's been able to do it. In this game yesterday, the throw he made to Hollywood Brown.
That was the best sort of game.
That's the best throw he's made. Like, but it was in a crucial moment.
Yeah.
They needed it. He stepped up and he did something that we've all been questioning. Can he do it? And that's be accurate and put the ball in a place where his receiver can make a play and he can continue to make his team better. He has been doing that. Now, can he continue to do it? That's to be seen. But we can say that about any and every team and every quarterback in this league.
I want to go to a team. I don't know. A lot of people didn't watch this game. But when I have to watch football for a living, so I like to watch.
Do you?
Essentially 62% of my show last year is NFL. Like, this is what we do.
Absolutely.
So it's really, I really like watching football when it's clever and fun. We all love Sean McVay, and I think he's terrific. I'm not sure he's the best coach in his division. Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco with a bunch of babies. That offense is a bunch of, that receiving core, they're all rookies or one-year guys. They did more creative, clever stuff yesterday. I gotta have Mike Shanahan on to talk about Kyle because he'll tell me the secrets. You watched them yesterday. As a wide receiver, how much fun would it be to play in this system? How often were the Niners' receivers open by 8 yards?
A lot.
That's scheming.
The thing that I love about what I'm seeing out of the 49ers and Shanahan and Garoppolo and these young guys on this offense is – number one, we couldn't see this last year because Garoppolo was absent.
That's right.
And so he couldn't showcase all of what he really wanted. What we're seeing is not a huge, oh, he's innovating and he's doing all these different. No, this is formation variation and smart players that can play different positions, present different looks, running the same thing, but it looks differently to the defense. And so when you have a scroll or a list of plays, a barrage of plays that you can go to, but you have guys who can interchange.
It's very New England.
Yes, you can interchange these guys, and it looks, and it, the presentation of it looks different, so you have the defense thinking versus just reacting.
This is very interesting. So when you go into a game, if you run 12 plays, but you can make them at the outset, they look different. But how many plays in a game, we're really in Green Bay for you, go-to plays every week?
A lot. A lot of plays were go-to plays. We had guys that could interchange position. I literally remember running a play. I don't know who it was against, but we were all pretty much interchangeable, specifically Donald and I, Donald Driver and myself. And we ran one play, and we ran it earlier in the game, and I caught the ball from the same position, the number three position, which is the receiver that's closest to the quarterback, kind of the extension of the tight end. So it means you got two receivers outside of you. We called the same play. We were supposed to be in the same positions. Donald looks at me in the huddle, and he says, "Gee, let me run that. And you run this, so it looks different for the defense."
Boom.
That's what Kyle Shanahan is doing outset from jump without players having to do it themselves. And that's what makes your offense thrive. When you have guys who can not just run a position.
They can play football.
They can play football, and they understand the concept, and they can execute it from all the positions.
Yeah, San Francisco is really fun to watch. Really fun to watch.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So every Monday we do this. I have strong opinions. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. I'm both. I call myself out and pat myself in the back, which I would prefer in all instances. Here we go, right, wrong.
Where Colin was right.
I had a very good blazing five. I went 4-1. I picked Atlanta to beat Philadelphia. They did. I picked the Bills, who I think are really interesting, to beat the Giants. They did. The Rams won. That was my strongest play of the week. They won. And Denver almost won, but covered. My only loss was Big Ben and the Steelers, but he got hurt. They were leading. but otherwise a 4-1 blazing five. We are 7-3 to start the year. Last year we had 66% of winning weeks. A Fox Bet, check out the website, check out the app. You can win money. A lot of people doubled their money with that Fox Bet app yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
Even regardless of Big Ben's injury, Pittsburgh, I was fooled by the preseason. Sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. Their defense, which was great in the preseason, is a mess. I mean, Russell Wilson only had 6 incompletions all day, threw for over 300 yards, and Seattle, Doug Baldwin retired. Moving the ball down the field was going to be a problem for Seattle. This should have been worse. If Seattle doesn't fumble a couple times, this could be a blowout late in the game. They don't have a deep threat. Joy was right on that. A.B., I like Juju Smith-Schuster a lot, but he does not separate. That's not who he is. Their running game is incredibly pedestrian. Mike Tomlin's one of my favorite coaches in the history of the league at the podium. Are the players believing in him? Listen, I understand this taking a while, but the defense has been really, really disappointing. They return a lot of good players. They added good players. I mean, New England added good players to their defense. They look better than ever. So I missed on Pittsburgh. This Big Ben or not, their defense and their running game are just not good enough in the NFL.
Where Colin was right.
Strongest opinion of the week was, listen, the Rams are better than the Saints, and they were better than the Saints last year, and the Saints are undisciplined. They had 11 penalties yesterday for 87 yards. I don't care if the refs make bad calls. They make bad calls all the time. They made a horrible call yesterday in that Denver loss on a roughing the passer. They made a iffy PI call against the Steelers on pass interference. This offense for the Saints has been a pop gun offense since week 13 of last year. It's bottom third in virtually everything. I love Drew Brees, but his arm was tired. That's why I don't think Teddy Bridgewater coming in ruins the season. Teddy can't throw the ball down the field either. So I don't buy the Saints. I think we have sympathy for them because we love Drew Brees, and they have this incredibly strong brand, dynamic, clever, creative. San Francisco's that now. New Orleans isn't. And listen, Brees played 2 series yesterday. Picked off, 3 and out. You'd have seen that for 3.5 hours yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
Jalen Hurts is now the best player in college football. You know how you meet people and they restore cars? Lincoln Riley restores quarterbacks. This kid's unbelievable. 80% completion rate. Now, it was UCLA. But in 3 games, no turnovers, 9 touchdowns, 900-yard passing, 400 yards throwing. And at Alabama, I just thought he's a college quarterback, and I'm not even sure he's a great college quarterback. I think Lincoln Riley's going to get him drafted. I mean, look at him in the pocket. Big kid, moves well. We have an NFL now where mobility matters, throws the ball effortlessly, finds the open guys, clearly sees the field. Listen, that's why, listen, man, football is the sport in our lives. It's about coaching. Coaching is a big, big deal. Look at Josh Rosen, and then look at Lamar Jackson. Who do they inherit? And Jalen Hurts is suddenly unbelievable. I think he's going to get drafted. I thought the minute Tua arrived at Alabama, I'm like, he's a second-best quarterback at his college. Now, I think he get drafted in the first or second round here in a year or two.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Lord, Kirk Cousins. I mean, yeah, was that the worst interception ever yesterday? That was just the pits. 14-3. Well, Kirk, you've been in this league forever. It was a first and goal. Throw it away. What are you doing? I mean, I actually did an event years ago with him. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's just a great kid. But I tell you right now, he hasn't even gotten to his primetime games yet. These are the 1 o'clock games. Wait till he gets on television. You can't tell me Minnesota coaches are not completely worn out, because this roster in Minnesota is good. Receivers, backs, tight ends, pass rushers, linebackers, one of the best safeties, corners. Oh, Kirk Cousins wears me out.
Where Colin was right.
I said all offseason, I think this is going to be Belichick's best defense since Teddy Bruschi. Folks, they have not surrendered a touchdown since the AFC Championship game. Rams, Dolphins, Steelers, no touchdowns. It's the best secondary in the league, no doubt. They got Jamie Collins back. It's an intimidating, fast linebacking court. They get pressure on the quarterback. They get the ball, take it away, pick sixes. Never forget this, that Belichick is a defensive coach. Sean Payton and Andy Reid are offensive guys. Pete Carroll and Belichick are defensive coaches. So Bill's always taken his players and made them better than they are. This is the best secondary in the league. It's one of the most active linebacking cores. And I got to tell you, this is what Belichick was telling people close to me in the offseason. Like, we could be special. And right now, they are breaking records through 2 weeks in New England.
Where Colin was wrong.
Remember when five quarterbacks a couple years ago got drafted in the first round? I said Josh Allen at Buffalo and Lamar Jackson at Baltimore. I said, these are not prospects. These are projects. Just let them sit. Well, they're the only two young quarterbacks winning. They're a combined 4-0. I think Buffalo's done a great job with Josh Allen, a great job coaching him. And I think Baltimore has done a really good job with Lamar Jackson. They both look to me confident. They're both playmakers. Now, again, I think you have to give Buffalo's coaching staff a ton of credit. They're aggressive. I mean, yesterday they had him. He's a really good runner, Josh Allen. They had running backs blocking for him. Like, they've figured out, here's what the kid does well. We're going to put him in positions to succeed. Buffalo's coaches are not putting Josh Allen in positions where he's not going to succeed. And, I mean, they're really good game plan if you watch this game. And similarly with Lamar Jackson, they got him two tight ends. They got him two receivers. They got a running back, Mark Ingram. They drafted a running back. They went and got him Greg Roman, who's worked with mobile quarterbacks. I thought these guys were projects. They're better than prospects. They are starters in the NFL and capable of, I think, winning 8, 9, 10 games.
Where Colin was right.
Y'all ready to come to my side on Cam Newton? I think he's been distracted day one in this league. I think he has, I call him roller coaster Cam. Not just because of his game, because of his personality. I never get the mood. I never get if he's in. Now, I will say, Cam plays hurt. He and Big Ben have excellent reputations, guys that play hurt. So Cam is courageous in that aspect. But folks, this league, it's like Westbrook. It's become a shooter's league. He can't shoot. It's become a precision league. You got to be able to complete throws. And Cam's wildly, wildly inaccurate. A lot of Joe Flacco. I get the size. I have a history. I've seen him in a Super Bowl. But yesterday, Thursday, 25 of 51 against the Tampa defense that didn't have a Pro Bowler last year. Like, that is not at home. With Norv Turner, like, that is not good enough.
Where Colin was right.
Rookie head coaches are 0-8-1 other than Matt LaFleur. You know who's looked really good? All the veteran coaches. Belichick, John Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, Jason Garrett, and Andy Reid are 10-0. All the young coaches, 0-8-1. Old guys have been head coaches. They know the dilemmas and the crises that happen throughout the course of the week with players and families and wives and situations and the owner. And coordinating is about being smart. A lot of these young guys are smart. Coaching's about babysitting and psychology and mentoring and being a dad and being, I mean, there's a lot of things these coaches are doing. And the old guys right now, the five experienced guys are 10-0. And the young guys outside of Matt LaFleur are struggling. Not everything new. Some stuff that's new is better. Uber's awesome. I like my iPhone. But not everything new is always better.